And we're going to start reading in verse number 1 just to kind of give a review, and then we'll continue dealing with the workmanship. You see all the ships behind me are listed, and right now we happen to be in the workmanship, which is over here, almost all the way down at the bottom just about. Amen. The workmanship, Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1. I'm going to read all the way down to verse number 12, Ephesians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. Ephesians chapter 2, amen. Everybody there say amen. Any old me's? All right, then I reckon we are all there. Say, preacher, I didn't know you was from the South. Amen. That's okay. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Start reading with me here in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And that is what we're talking about right now. Paul here writing to the church at Ephesus, reminding them that we are his workmanship. Notice verse number 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus on the good works. Last week we looked at the definition of workmanship. We'll review that briefly. Then we looked at the duty or design of the workmanship. And then we'll look at the destiny of the workmanship. Why did God put you and I in the workmanship? Amen. And it's good to know why. Amen. Why? So that we can perform in the workmanship. Amen. And I'm so glad that when God saves us, he doesn't leave us alone. He says, now occupy till I come. Amen. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Thank you for your saving grace, your saving mercy, Lord, and help us to understand your word and, Lord, to fulfill your will in our lives today. We're so thankful that, Lord, when you saved us, you didn't leave us. You changed us and made us into the image of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, help us now to leave differently than when we came in. Lord, bless now the preaching of your word. Use me as your servant, Lord. Help me to say those things that need to be said. Those things that need not be said, Lord, help me refrain from saying them. And may, Lord, the hearers of the word of God then, Lord, understand what the will of God is in their life. And then, Lord, if there's a man, a woman, or a boy or girl that is unsure that heaven is their home, if they're doubting whether they die today, they would go to heaven, help them to make it clear that, Lord, you love them first and foremost, and you long to save them if they would only turn to you and confess their sins, Lord, and repent of them. I do trust that if there's a man or woman like that today, they would accept Christ as Savior. For Christians, Lord, we would abide in the workmanship and understand understand what we need to do. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord, and I bless in the song that's going to be sang here in a few minutes, and then, Lord, in the decisions that will be made at the conclusion of the preaching. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Ms. Natasha has our special.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to rest His cleansing blood, just His simple faith to plunge me. The healing, cleansing blood. Precious Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Trust Him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self-disease, just from Jesus simply giving life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Precious Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. To trust Him more. Jesus,
Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, not only should we trust Him as Savior, we should trust Him with our entire life. Amen. You know, so oftentimes people will get saved and then they'll say, well, Lord, you saved my soul, but leave the rest of my life to myself. Amen. And that's a sure way to wreck your life. Amen. Let Jesus Christ have control of everything. Amen. And He will do a very, very good job in guiding you and steering you into the path of success. Amen. Say, preacher, how do I know that? Many of us have ruined our lives already. Amen. We need to get that thing righted. Amen. And we praise God for that. Amen. Well, we're talking about abiding in the workmanship. Of course, our theme all year long is abide in the ship. There's many ships that we have talked about. There's no way we're going to finish all those ships, but we're going to cram a few more in the month of December. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Seeing what God's going to do in our lives. Talking about the workmanship, think about how God made you. You are God's workmanship. Amen. By the way, I don't know if you are aware of this, but when God made you, He broke the mold. There is not another human being like you. Your DNA testifies to that. Your fingerprints testify to that. Your eyes testify to that. Amen. Every fiber about you is different from the person sitting next to you and the person around the world. Say, preacher, I thought it was just the color of skin because I've seen some people look just like me. Amen. They can look just like you, but they're not you. Amen. They're different than you. The DNA proves that they're different. Amen. We've got some twins in the church. Amen. And guess what? They have different DNA. Amen. And what a blessing it is. So each one of us has been created by God, and we are a workmanship. Amen. I like the way God broke the mold. Amen. I don't think the world could take two of me. Y'all laughing. Probably couldn't take two of you either. Amen. We are some characters, to say the least. Amen. And can you imagine how beautifully and wonderfully creative God is to create each one of us differently? That is, the stars are even different. There are no two stars alike. That's amazing. He's got all different names for the stars, and none of them are alike. The snowflakes, when they drop, there's no two snowflakes alike. That's a wonderful God. Amen. And by the way, he put great effort into making those, but when he made you and I, he made us like Jesus Christ. Amen. That's special. That should make you feel good about yourself. Amen. Now, it shouldn't make you prideful. It's like, yeah, I'm like God. Well, no, let's not take it too far. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. We looked at this last week, and Ephesians is written to the church at Ephesus there. Paul writing to them, reminding them of some things here. And in verses 1 through 7, he begins to detail about their former life without Christ and how helpless and corrupted they were. Notice verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He said, I quickened you, I made you alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, you were spiritually not alive to spiritual things. He says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. He said, you did what you wanted to do based upon what the devil had you to do. Amen. You had no ability to do that which was right. He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, notice Paul puts himself in there, we all had our conversation in times past. What do we do, Paul? The lust of our flesh, what we wanted to do. The fulfilling the desires of the flesh, what we wanted to do. And of the mind, what we wanted to do. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said, the former life without Christ, you were helpless and corrupted. You couldn't do right if you wanted to. You couldn't do right if somebody paid you to do right. Amen. Hey, we look at it. The only time we will try to, quote unquote, do right is when we want to. What is that? Pride, self. God's got nothing to do with that. Amen. But then we talked about the fashioned life with Christ down there, how we were helped and created. Notice verse 4. But God had to step in, who is rich in what? Mercy. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? Amen. Mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Amen. I'm glad I didn't get justice. Justice says, I'll give you what you deserve. People say, I demand justice. Not when it comes to God, you really don't want justice. Because if you got justice, you and I would be in a place called hell. But you don't know all the atrocities that people did to me. What about the atrocities that you did to others? And furthermore, what about the atrocities you did to Almighty God? Amen. And we can stop right there. God who's rich in what? Mercy for his what? Great love. What did he do with it? Wherewith he loved us. Amen. Even when we were dead in sins, we were like verses 1 through 7, verses 1 through 5 up there. Hath he quickened us, made us alive together with who? Christ. Amen. That's good company. By grace ye are saved. And so we found out in verse number 10, for we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. So the fashion life with Christ, we have been helped and created to do something for God. And then Paul gives a reminder in verses 11 and 12, don't forget your life without Christ was hopeless and you were cast away. Notice what he says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. He said, you were called a Gentile. You were called unclean by the Jews who were the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Notice our being and our state that at that time, verse 12, ye were, notice that, without Christ. By the way, if you are without Christ, you are miserable. Even if you call yourself happy, you are miserable. Why? Because at the end of this life, you go to a place called hell, which was never created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. And God in his mercy and his great love wanted to save you. And so if you're without Christ, you're miserable, whether you know it or not.
He says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having, notice that, how much hope? No hope. One of the saddest people in the world is a person with no hope. No hope. And it gets worse. No hope and without God in the world. That's even worse. If I've got no hope, that's bad enough. But now if I've got no hope and without God, I'm a person most miserable. Not only do I not have any hope, I don't have God, who is the author of hope. Amen. And he said, Ephesus, remember? That's how you used to be. You used to be like that. Christian, that's how you used to be. Before you came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's how you used to be. He said, don't forget that. By the way, may we never forget the day we got saved. May we never forget the day that someone introduced us to Jesus Christ and you were born again. Never forget the time when you had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and he convicted your soul and converted you and you got saved. Don't ever forget that. Because before that, you were without hope and without God in this world. He was knocking at your door. You just didn't open up. But one day, he knocked and you opened up. And you are full of hope. And you are full of God. Amen. God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. Amen. You have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Amen. He just may not have all of you. Amen. And so when you look at this, Paul's writing to them in these verses here, detailing their former life without Christ and their fashion life with Christ that you've been helping create. And so don't forget your life was hopeless and you were a castaway at one point. And so he says now, you are God's workmanship in verse number 10. And that's the definition of what we're going to be looking at today. The definition of the workmanship is this. He says down there, for we are his workmanship. Workmanship means the quality of something made by a workman. By the way, when God made you, he made you very good. It's the product or result of labor, skill, or work executed. It's a product. And so you have been made by God. We are God's workmanship, amen. And you look at yourself today. I know some of you probably say, I wish I had a better memory, or I wish I had darker hair or longer hair, or wish I was taller, wish I, you know, had this or had that. You know, God made you exactly how he wanted you to be. Amen. And so you might as well just look in the mirror and say, God, you did a good job. Did a good job. Amen. Hey, my hair fell out when I was 18 years old. I was bald at 18. And I thought, surely, God, you must have made a mistake. But before the world began, he had already dubbed everybody bald. The bad people he gave hair to. Y'all didn't think that was funny, did y'all? Got to justify it somewhere, amen. God already knew that I was going to lose my hair at 18. He said, I didn't make a mistake, son. That's the way I planned it. I already knew. And so we're his workmanship, the quality of something made by a workman, the product result of labor, skill, or work executed. It's a product, and God is the workman, and we are his workmanship. And so we talked about the definition, and then we talked about the duty or design of the workmanship. Notice verse number 10 again. He says, for we are his what? Workmanship, and what's that next word? Created. The word created means manufactured or to fabricate. So we have been manufactured or fabricated in Christ Jesus unto, what's those two next words? Good works. Word good works means a beneficial labor or beneficial toil, that which is done to benefit others. Amen. In other words, God made us to work for him, to do something helpful for others. By the way, did it ever dawn on you that God doesn't need our help to get the job done? But God wants our help to get the job done. And so he made you so that you could help somebody else. Amen. By the way, if there was not a woman, there couldn't be a man and vice versa. Why? They need each other to continue to procreate. Amen. One man can't make any more babies by himself. Neither can one woman make any more babies by herself. And let me go ahead and say this as well, since this is the day and age we live. Two women can't make one either. Neither can two men. Amen. Two men cannot make a baby, neither can two women, amen, an impossibility. And so God put us here to help each other. He wants us to manufacture or fabricate some good works. Let's read it together. Verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus on the good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me say this. Unless you're born again, you cannot create, that you cannot do these good works. Notice what he says. We are his workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus on the good works. So I've got to be saved first. I've got to be born again. I've got to be a child of God. I've got to get away from that place of being a castaway and being corrupted. And I've got to be converted to receive Christ as Savior. And that's what he's talking about here. Hold your finger there. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want you to see something, a good word on these good works. Here, Hebrews chapter 13. And notice verse number 20. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Verse 21, make you perfect, that's mature or complete, or to give you everything you need. Make you perfect in every what? Good work to do what? His will. So in other words, he's saying God's going to perfect you or equip you, give you everything you need for every good work to do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. Amen. And it says down there, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So in other words, he says, you know, God's going to make you perfect in every good work to do his will. By the way, you ought to want to do God's will. It's not only good for you, it's good for others. Amen. By the way, you're saved because somebody did God's work. Somebody gave you the gospel. You're saved because of that. Amen. And so he lets us know down there. Amen. By the way, Matthew 5:16 said this way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See your good work. When people see you, they should see the good works of God. Amen. Why? Because you're created in God's image, and he wants you to work for him. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I mentioned this last week, and I want to reiterate this as well. Good works don't make you holy. Somebody say amen. Well, you mean if I do all these good works, I'm not holy? Not necessarily. An unsaved person can do what you do. Go in your Bibles real quick, show you a scripture area. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I want to show you something here because I never want us to lose the sight of the fact that good works don't make us holy. You say, well, I do all these good works, that makes me holy. No. No. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, he's speaking about women. And notice what he says in verse number 9, in like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. In other words, he's saying, don't let the outward manifestation wow you. But, verse number 10, and notice in parentheses, which becometh women professing godliness, what does he say? Good works. So he's saying the women that are professing godliness, that are godly themselves, the thing that should separate them is not how good they look, but how good they work. Amen. And so the works themselves don't make a person holy. The works only reflect that you are holy or you should be holy. Amen. He says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Amen. And so works don't make us holy. Being holy produces good works. Amen. And so never think that because you do, you're holy, because that's not always the case. Amen. And so we're going to go to this third point here, which is the final point, the destiny of the workmanship. We look at the duty or design. We've been created in Christ Jesus under good works. The definition is the product of something that's been manufactured or made, the result of the worker, of the workman that's working, amen, and you and I are the workmanship, amen. And then the destiny of the workmanship. Where's God trying to take us in this workmanship? Amen. We'll go back to Ephesians chapter number 2. Where's God trying to take me in this workmanship? By the way, if you're saved here today, you've been created in Christ Jesus. The definition is already established. God made you. Now the duty, he wants you now, he created you to walk in these good works. The destiny, where is God trying to take us in this workmanship? He wants to take us forward and all around, amen? I need Joshua and G2 to come up here just for a second. The word before ordained there in verse number 10 means determined ahead of time, or all that accept Christ should be this way. The word walk means to tread all around. To tread all around or to be occupied with. And so if G2, we never really think about the definition of walking. Gregory, walk down that way. He's walking, amen. Joshua, you walk, amen. Terrell, you come here and you walk, amen, as well. Gary, you come here and walk too. Braswell, you stand up back there and walk as well. And y'all just walk around, amen. Wherever you want to walk, just walk, amen. Just don't walk anybody's toes. And so the Bible says this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice that, walk in them. The word walk means to be deport oneself or to get myself all around, amen? It means this, to tread all around. So in other words, God has already preordained or predetermined before we got saved, became Christians, that we should be producers of good works wherever we walk. So wherever they go, they should be doers of good works. Amen? Imagine if I had everybody in the auditorium stand up and I gave you a good work to do and you did that good work wherever you went. Everywhere they walk, there should be a production of good works. What's the analogy? Everywhere you and I go, there should be a production of good works. Because the word walk means to tread all around. So wherever I walk, wherever I go, there should be some good works following in my footsteps. There should be something that I'm producing. Joshua walking backwards, amen. It's like some Christians backslide, amen. Amen. All right, Ben, you can stop. I appreciate that. Oh, what am I saying here? Walk means to tread all around. Notice verse number 10 again. He says, for we are his workmanship, I mean, God created us in Christ Jesus under good works. He wants us to do these good works. He says, now God had before ordained or he predetermined that we should walk in them or we should tread all around in them or we should be occupied with them. We should deport ourselves or proceed in them. What's to them? The good works. Amen. That's the difference. Let me just interject a thought for you to fathom. Imagine if every born-again, blood-washed Christian walked around with good works 24 hours a day. What would this world be like? I'm not talking about one or two. I'm not talking about these five that were here. I'm talking about if every born-again, blood-washed, Bible-believing Christian walked around with good works all day, from the babies on up to the grandpas or the great-grandpas. Or the great-great-great-great-grandpas and grandmas. If everybody, wherever we went, we were doing good works. Imagine what this world would be like if everyone that named the name of Christ produced good works. But wait a minute, is that not what it says? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, he predetermined, that we, everybody that's saved, should walk in them. Is that what it says? Amen. Then what should we be doing? Walking in good works. You know, if you're walking in good works, you won't have time to do bad works. If you're walking in the spirit, you won't have time to walk in the flesh. If you're doing God's will, you won't have a chance to do your own will. If you and I are constantly doing good works, not just because you want to do them, but because the Spirit of God is prompting you to do them. There's a difference. Now, I like cleanliness. And sometimes God ain't got nothing to do with it. Sometimes it's just my OCD kicking in. But when God directs me to do something, then it means something. Then it means something. Otherwise, it's just children obey your parents. Lord, this is right. What am I saying? If everybody did this, So just for the next few moments, I want to give you some good works that the Bible talks about that you and I ought to have. And by the way, I'm going to give you the method and how they should be done. Well, let me just list off some things. You can love is a good work. You can forgive. It's a good work. You can win souls. It's a good work. You can pray. It's a good work. You can preach. It's a good work. You can give. It's a good work, Brother Hall. Amen. You can encourage someone. That's a good work. Imagine we had more encouragers. We'd have less discouragers. Amen. You could study. That's a good work. You could mentor. That's a good work. You can teach. That's a good work. You can help someone. That's a good work. You can lead someone. That's a good work. You can support someone. That's a good work. You can instruct someone. That's a good work. In a house of God, you can usher. That's a good work. You can clean. That's a good work. You can sing. That's a good work. You can fix. You can cook. You can prepare. On and on and on. I can go. There's so many good works that there are out there available that you could do. But now how are we going to do these good works? Because Matthew is clear in verse 16 of chapter 5. Let your light so shine before who? Men. That they might see your what? Good works. And glorify who? Your Father, which is where? In heaven. You know why it says that? Because people can't see God. But guess who they can see? They can see me and you. And so God says, I want you to do some good works so that people, when they see you, see your good works, they'll glorify me. Say, whoo, they must love God. Man, they must love God. Look at the way they gave. They must love God. Look at what they're doing over there teaching those children. They must love God. Look how they're able to forgive people and love people no matter what they did to them. They must really love God. They must have a God in heaven. Amen. So for the next few minutes, we're going to concentrate pretty much in the book of Timothy and Titus. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because we're supposed to do these works. If we can preach, we can teach, we can lead and support and love, how should we do these things? First one we go to is 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 18. And by the way, we're going to be seeing the term good works over and over again. But the scriptures are going to tell us how we should be doing some of these good works. And for some of y'all, this is going to be a review. We just need to ensure that we're walking in them wherever we go. Chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, the first one is going to be rich. Rich means to be wealthy or increased with. How many of y'all would like to be rich? Nobody wants to be rich? I'm the only oddball to want to be rich. I know all of us want to be rich, amen. You don't want to have the same salary you got, amen. I don't know about you, I would like to be rich. And God knows that, that's why I am poor, amen. He says, you can't handle it, son. I give you money, you're going to blow it on G.I. Joe or something, amen? But I would love to be rich in money. But guess what? I'm not. But guess what I can be rich in? Good works. Good works. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice verse 17. Charge them that are what? Rich in this world. He said, if you got some funds, if you got some finances, that they be not high-minded. He said, that's how you would probably be preaching if you had money. Nor trust in uncertain riches. That's how some of us would be, trusting in our money. He says, but in the who? The living God who giveth us what? Richly all things to enjoy. In other words, he's saying, be content with what you have. Notice verse 18. He said, these rich folks, that they do good, that they be rich in what? Good works. Rich means to be wealthy or increased with. He said, make sure you're rich or increased with good works, ready to distribute. What does that mean? Ready to share what you have, giving it to someone else. Willing to communicate. What does it mean? The same thing. Willing to share your financial income with others. Why are most of us poor? Because probably we're going to be misers if we had the money. Amen. You should be willing to give as God has given to you. What did he say? Give and it shall be what? Given. Good measure. What? Pressed down. Shaken together. How? Running over. Shall men give in your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, say the way you get is the way you give. Amen. Now, I'm not rich, but I try to give as much as I can. Amen. By the way, he says, I want you to be rich in good works. That's one way we can do our good works. Amen. I'll give you a second way. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Good works. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 is written to Timothy, the preacher. And he says down there in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or God breathed it. He says, profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof. He says, warning, for correction, that's straightening you back up, for instruction in righteousness. That's how you can stay right. Why? Verse 17. That the man of God, the preacher, or the child of God may be what? Perfect or complete or fully equipped, mature, thoroughly furnished unto how many works? All good works. In other words, what Paul is saying here, God has before ordained that he's not going to have you do a good work that he's not going to help you do. He's giving you the instructions of the word of God on how to do it. I don't know how to forgive, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I don't know how to love, for God so loved the world. I don't know how to be kind. The kindness and love of our God appeared unto man. I don't know how to have peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding should keep your hearts. It's the peace of God. He is going to give you everything that you and I need to produce good works. Amen. He said, I want you to be thoroughly furnished on all good works. You have the capability, as well as I, because we're in the workmanship. Amen. And he said, the way you can do this, be rich in good works. He says, be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Thoroughly furnished means fully equipped or accomplished. Show you another one. Go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And in Titus chapter number 2, notice down in verse number 6. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 6. He says down here to Titus, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. He says, Timothy's writing to Titus, says, I want you to exhort the young men to be sober-minded, to be serious thinkers. You know, we have a generation of young boys now that are just about foolishness. They don't want to get serious. They don't want to get buckled down and get involved in relationships or hard work. They want to be about frivolousness and foolishness. Woe be to the young girls that they go to marry. Boy, woman, y'all better marry with a frying pan in your hand and cluck them upside the head in Jesus' name, because that's what some of them need, because they're so frivolous and foolish. The young good girls are out there trying to find a good man. All they find is a bunch of frivolous, foolish guys who want to play video games all the time. By the way, you can't play video games all the time. Only a fraction of the people make a living off of that. You say, well, I want to be in that fraction. Pay me to play video games, amen. That's what he said down there. Verse 7. In all things showing thyself, notice this, a pattern of what? Good works. In other words, be the prototype. The word pattern means a sample or type, a model for imitation, a shape for tracing. Let your life be traceable. Let your life be that people can look at and say, man, I want to pattern my life after the way you're leading your life, amen. Show yourself a pattern by the way you give, by the way you love, by the way you forgive, by the way you're kind, by the way you're compassionate. Make your life a pattern, a sample. He said, look, he said, do this. This will be good for you. Notice it comes right after the young man. Sorry, young man. I, too, was a young man to play with G.I. Joe. You know, I haven't seen G.I. Joe advertised at all this Christmas season. I think he played out. Still a good toy. Isn't it? All right, so. Till they made G.I. Jane in that movie. Amen. All right. It says down there, a pattern, show yourself a pattern of good works. And so it's a sample, a prototype. Can others look at your pattern of love and trace it? Can others pattern your giving and trace it and be right with God? Can others pattern your forgiving spirit and be right with God by tracing it? Can others pattern your soul winning and be right with God as a tracer? He said, hey, look, Timothy, or Titus down here, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Let people see it in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be contemned, condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. He said, do those things. Let people trace those things out of your life. Your speech, make it sound so it's not condemned. That the person on the other side, the contrary, doing the opposite thing, can't say anything about you. He says sincerity, verse number 7, gravity, uncorruptness in your doctrine, a pattern. He's not done with Titus. Go over to chapter number 3. I'm sorry, chapter number 2 and verse 14. Drop down a little bit. Notice what he says in verse number 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. By the way, you, if you live in America, you are no stranger to the grace of God. His grace has been shown. Now, you might not have accepted his grace, but if you live in America, the grace has been shown. The grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. You know of someone who knows something about God. And that someone that you know something about Jesus. And you are without excuse. The same way I was without excuse. You try to plead ignorance. Well, I don't know what to do. You know that what you're doing is wrong. And you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can learn the Father but by him. You can try everything else that you want to. It's useless. You can try Catholicism and try the rosary bead. You can try the baptism, and that's still wrong. By grace are you saved through faith. And not it is that, not it is that, it's the gift of God, not of works. That's the man's boast. Hey, friend, the grace of God has appeared to all of us. He says, verse 12, what is the grace of God appearing, doing? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What should we be doing? Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, I hate to ruin your plans, but Jesus could come before Christmas comes. It'll save you some money, too. Unless you already bought something, you didn't, you're out there, amen. But he says, we're waiting for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what? All iniquity. And purify unto himself what? A peculiar people, a set aside people, zealous of good works. The word zealous there means a strong desire for something. So when it comes to the works that we mentioned that were good works, he said you should have a strong desire for these things. He says this in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise it. He said, Titus, make sure you put that out there. Put it out there. Be zealous of good works. Have a strong desire. We oftentimes want to do what we want to do, don't we? Hey, I'm no stranger either. I want to do what I want to do too. You know what I wanted to do after I ate on Thanksgiving? Relax. I didn't want to wash dishes. Say, preacher, that's why you got kids. But guess what? Somebody had to wash the dishes. Mama cooked. We're not going to make her cook and wash the dishes. Some of y'all probably did. Amen. Shame on you. Not going to make mama cook and wash the dishes. Somebody's got to do the good work of washing the dishes. And so Joshua and Faith and Gregory, neither of them volunteered. There's only one other occupant left in the house. And he had to exercise Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Get in there and wash them dishes. That's a good work. Be zealous. And they were zealous. They walked in like this. You would almost thought they were singing that song. I had a hard life. Well, you just ain't fool. You should be thankful. Get in there with some zealousness. Wash those dishes. Now, in good faith, Daddy, help them out. Then I help y'all out. You gotta stop that. It should make you wash dishes for the rest of your life. Amen. What are you saying? A strong desire, zealous of good works. He said, that's why he made you there. Notice that. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. He's not done with Titus, verse 14. He says something as well. Verse 8, I'm sorry. Verse 8, we should be careful to maintain. The word maintain means to practice, to be over, to rule, to don't stop, or to keep going with this. Notice verse number 8, this is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, who is that? The saved, might be careful to, what's that word? Maintain, to practice, to be ruler over, to don't stop, to keep going. Maintain good works. Why? These things are good and profitable unto who? Men, by the way, if you have good works towards somebody else, sowing and reaping does apply. Guess what? Somebody's going to sow some good works towards you. But remember, what you sow, you reap. No one ever helps me. Have you helped somebody else? No one ever gives to me. Have you given to someone else? No one ever does for me. Have you done for someone else? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What's a man's sword? That should also be. Careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable in the man. Notice verse number 14. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. He said, you ought to just do this because it's right to do. It's necessary. It helps you out. By the way, we look at Adam and Eve, we think they had a rose garden. Well, they probably did have a rose garden. We think they had it made in shade. They didn't do anything. Guess what? Adam had to till the garden. He had to work. He didn't just sit back and eat bonbons in the garden. He didn't put Eve behind the plow and say, "Yah, mule, get up." He had to go and till the ground. You find that in Scripture. He had good works. We have this idea, well, when I get to heaven, I have a heavenly hammock and I'll just sit forever on my heavenly bottom. No, you're not going to sit on your heavenly bottom and do nothing. Now, it won't be like it is down here where it's toil and labor. It'll be a labor of love, and you'll want to do it, amen? And you'll praise God for the opportunity to do it. Last verse, Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to close. Hebrews chapter 10. What am I talking about? We know there's a bunch of good works, loving, forgiving, helping, leading, preaching, cooking, teaching. But it's how we do those good works. Hebrews chapter number 10. Some of you already know where I'm going. Verse number 24. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 24, Hebrews chapter number 10, and let us consider one another. In other words, take account of your brother or your sister, and to provoke unto what? Love. By the way you live your life, provoke them to love. And what? Good works. By what they see, you should provoke them to love. Normally, when someone is being unlovely, and you're loving towards them, it provokes them. Amen. Sometimes they'll get madder. But guess what? If it's in Jesus' name and in the Spirit of God, it'll provoke them to love too, because they'll begin to see themselves. I don't know about you. When I saw Jesus Christ high and lifted up, when I got saved, guess who I saw? I saw me. When I saw the love of God, when I saw the mercy of God, when I saw the forgiveness of God, I saw how bad I really was. When you provoke someone with love, and the good works, they will see themselves and what they are not doing. And they will have to give glory to God. Which one of the ways we can provoke unto love and the good works? The very next verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, be in the house of God. Be faithful to God. When the door is open, be there. What am I saying? These are different ways that the Bible lets us know that you and I can produce good works. What did he say? Provoke unto love and good works. What did he say in Titus 3:14-18? Be careful to maintain good works. Keep the practice up. What did he say in 2:14 of Titus? Be zealous of good works. Have a strong desire for them. What did he say in Titus 2:7? Show yourself a pattern of good works. Make yourself available so someone can copy that pattern. What did he say in 1 Timothy 6:18? Be rich in good works. You may not have money, but you have the ability to produce good works. All of us can do that. What am I saying? Jesus did the greatest work of all when he stretched himself out on the cross and died for people who could pay him no dividends whatsoever. He allowed wicked men to nail him to a cross, his hands and his feet, the greatest act of love ever shown to mankind. God Almighty did the greatest act of all mankind to give his only begotten Son to sinful men. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What is that? That's a good work. Who's the recipient of that? Anyone that will get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That good work was given for you and I to benefit. It didn't benefit God. He didn't get anything out of the deal. He got a bunch of sinners. But he enjoys having them. Why? Because we've been created in Christ Jesus, his Son, unto good works. God had before ordained that we should walk in them. He said, everywhere you go, I want you to be a producer of good works. That's why I made you.
That's why I saved you. Everywhere you go, you produce a work that's good. And when people ask you why you're so doing these good works, you can say, my Father in heaven saved me. And he created me in Christ Jesus under good works. I can't help but work for him who loved me. I don't know about you today, but I need improvement on my good works, and perhaps you do too. And it's not a problem with the work itself. It's a matter in how we do it. Maintaining them. Be zealous of them. Be rich in them. Be careful to show ourselves a pattern of them. Be truly furnished unto all of them. Get what we need from God, because he's put us in the workmanship and he's made us. He said, I've given you everything you need. I just do it. I like Peter when he says, given all diligence, add unto your faith. He goes down through the laundry list of different things. In closing, let me read you a page out of the Patch the Pirate devotional the kids had for this week. Bless my heart, talking about 2 Peter 1:6. He says, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. These are things that we're adding. To patience, godliness. Godliness is to be like God, or it's God's likeness, or it's holiness. The devotion that the children had read like this. After faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience comes godliness. Godliness is respect and fear of God that enters every area of your life, helping you always to put God first. The godly person thinks always of God and what will please him. How do you become godly? You cannot practice godliness unless you have already been helped by the Holy Spirit to practice the steps that come before godliness. That's getting saved. As you grow in your Christian life, practice obeying God and serving him. God will bring you to the place where you are godly. What if you do not have an obedient heart towards God? What if you choose to please yourself more than you choose to please God? Then you will not grow and move up the ladder of Christian maturity towards godliness. Ask God to help you have an obedient heart toward him. Thank him that he promises to make you grow and become like him. If you will only trust and obey him day by day. What is that talking about? Godliness. Where do good works come from? Godliness. Why? God worked. Jesus said it best. My Father works, and hitherto I work. And all of Jesus' works were good. Think about it. The works that you do throughout the day, how many are good and profitable and useful to others? And how many are useless and profitless? Let's bring up the level a little bit. Let's do more good works than useless works. Now, I'm not saying these works are bad. I'm just saying the works that we want to major in are the works that are going to help others. Good works.
Yes, sir.
Loving, forgiving, those things. Those are good. The other works can come and go as they will. But these are the works that God looks at. Amen. Think about what good works God may have you to do. And ask him to make you the vessel that he wants you to be. I can't do it for you. But God has created you and I for a purpose and a reason. Are you fulfilling the good works that God wants you to do? By the way, your good works may be different from mine. God didn't call you to preach. He called me. I've got to be faithful to that. But he did call you to preach the gospel to every creature and be a witness. Make sure the works are good works. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. God, as we look at the way good works should be done and accomplished, some of us may need to be rich, truly furnished, maybe a pattern, maybe zealous, maybe careful to maintain them, maybe to provoke unto love. But Lord, help us to do the good works that you have called us to do, not worrying about what someone else is called to do, but the works you want us to do. Bless in this invitation time that man or that woman or that boy or girl who is not sure that heaven is their home, and help them to be saved in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Right where you're at, are you sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Or is there maybe a doubt in your mind? Maybe in your mind you're saying, preacher, I would sure like to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm not sure, and I want to know for sure. If you're like that today, I want to pray for you. I won't call you out. I won't mention you. But I do want to pray for you that you can leave here with the knowledge that you're on your way to heaven. Because without heaven, there is a place called hell to pay for sins. And right where you sit, you say, preacher, I want you to pray for me in your closing prayer that I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm not positive, but I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Just stick your hand up nice and high. Amen. I see your hand. You may put it down. Anyone else? Raise your hand. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone else at all? Anyone? Christians, then it's up to you. Are you doing the good works that God would have you to do? If you're not doing those good works, ask God to help you to perfect those good works so that others can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If you're not sure that heaven is your home during the invitation, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I can't come to you, but you can come to me. Father, bless now in our invitation time. Speak to hearts and minds and help us to make the decisions that you would have us to make based upon the good works that you want us to do. And Lord, for the one that raised their hands and they're not sure that heaven is their home, give that individual courage to come. Let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are still bowed. Our eyes are closed. We're looking around. As Miss Natasha plays Hymn of Invitation, God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you'd like to take just a moment and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you'd like to just come and let God know that you're willing to do the good works that He wants you to do. Or maybe there's some good works you know for sure that He wants you to do. Or maybe you want to have a better pattern of good works. Maybe you want to be thoroughly furnished in all good works. Maybe you want to be rich in good works or zealous. Maybe you just want to maintain your good works. Why don't you come and kneel at the altar and tell God your heart. If you'd like to be saved, we can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Would you like that? Heart, we're talking about good works. I don't know about you, but I want to be zealous of good works. I want to have that continuing desire. I want to be rich in good works. I want everybody to see God in me. I want them to see that I love my Lord. I love my Savior. And I want to work for Him. I'm not perfect. I know that. I know you're not perfect either. But I believe you want to do your very best for God. Leave here with a zeal today and the desire to say, I want to be zealous of good works. Leave here today with a desire. I want to have a pattern of good works. I'm not perfect. I don't want others to copy everything that I do, but I want to point them to Jesus Christ and say, I'm trying to be the best pattern that I can for Him. Point to Jesus. I want to be careful to maintain good works. I want to keep going on for God till He tarries. I want to go. What about you? I want to provoke others to love and to good works. How about it today? Truly furnished, rich in good works. The whole reason why God made us and put us in workmanship is to produce good works. That's our destiny. That's what He wants to affect in our lives. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, already predetermined that we should walk in them, proceed in them, go all about in them. Help others to see those good works in us. How about you today? Are you sure heaven is your home? God wants to save you today. He loves you. How about it? Let God work in your heart and work in your life. Father, thank you for the one that came and said that they are not sure heaven is their home. Lord, what a desire they want to be sure. God, make it crystal clear what they must do to be born again. The Bible is clear. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that it's so crystal clear what we need to do. It's not about our baptism. It's not about our church membership. It's not about how good we are, how bad we've been. It's about receiving Christ as Savior. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Lord, help every man, woman, boy, and girl into my
sound of my voice, to know about the good work that you've done already in giving your only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So help us, Lord, to receive heaven's gift, then, Lord, to be put in the workmanship and be producers of good works. Thank you so much that, Lord, that you have placed within us the Spirit of God, and we can be truly furnished unto good works. We can be zealous of good works. Lord, we can have a pattern of good works. We can maintain good works. We can provoke others to love and good works. We can be rich in good works. Help us to walk in them. Wherever we go, Lord, may others see our good works and glorify you in heaven, knowing that truly only you can work in us and work through us, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you. Give faith and confidence and clarity of thought to the one being dealt with, and help us to leave differently when we came in. Lord, a little bit more zealous about good works, maintaining them, walking in them, being truly furnished in them. And thank you so much for being a great God to love us. Thank you for your rich mercy wherewith you loved us. Now dismiss us with your blessings. And help us to hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.